seated as we pray. Lord, we can only imagine in our heart of hearts what it would have been like on that first Christmas night when the sky was filled with angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to those whom God hath blessed. Lord, what amazing, beautiful story of the birth of Christ in our world. And it's even more amazing, Lord, every time you're born into a human heart. When you move in, Lord, sadness moves out. When you come to dwell in our lives, forgiveness is overflowing. Release and freedom are your gifts. Life in your name is a precious, beautiful gift. And your overwhelming love is given to us to spread all around. So we come today, Lord, with expectancy, knowing that you can be born in our lives once again, that we can take up the ways of Christ and the life of Christ and the cross of Christ, and we can embrace it as our own, knowing that you've called us to be yours and that we are saved to the uttermost through the powerful, beautiful name of Jesus. Lord, save us from our selfishness. Save us from our pride. Save us from our insecurities. Save us from our lostness. We are invited into this beautiful story to experience the warmth and the joy of this season. But God, we don't have to put it in the rearview mirror when we pack the last box of ornaments away. We can continue to hold on to you with the deepest of hope. And you can increase our faith so that each and every day we are growing to be more like you, to enjoy a walk with our God. Lord, restore your creation. Restore us as a people. Restore us individually, we pray. And all glory and honor belongs to you and you alone. We thank you, Lord, that we get to pray for our brothers and sisters at Amigos de Cristo Church today. Thank you for their beautiful ministry. We pray your continued blessing as they reach out in love and in the name of Jesus. May your blessing fall upon them mightily as they gather to worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, these ancient words now become ours as we not only unite our voices, but we unite our hearts as we say confidently, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
So I'm going to get right to it today. I'm a pretty happy guy most times. I mean, I'm not like crazy happy, but just, you know, life is good. Life is good. Well, God is good, right? God is good. Life is not always good. Not by a long shot, but you know, knowing that God is good all the time and that all the time God is good, I think that helps quite a bit in the happiness department. One thing that helps me, especially when life is not good and it's not so happy, there's a psalm, it's one of my favorites, Psalm 42, and it starts out like this: "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk around mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?'" I don't know if you've ever felt like God has forgotten you, or if you've ever felt oppressed by the enemy, or you felt wounded in body or in soul. I don't know if you've ever been taunted for your faith, or your looks, or just who you are. I think we've all felt at some time or another that way. But the beautiful thing that this psalm reminds me is that I'm not alone. That the psalmist shares my pain. It's written in our holy book. And so I not ought feel guilty, and you not ought feel guilty in those moments when you cry out to God, "Where are you? Why is this happening to me?" God knows our pain, understands our pain, experienced our pain in the life and body of Christ. But then here's the thing. Even in the midst of that, the very next line in this scripture, Psalm 42, the psalmist gives us this beautiful reminder, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." You know, it's okay to feel down. It's okay to be hurt and upset. It's even okay to cry out in pain or anger or fear to God, or even to cry out at God. I mean, it's downright biblical. But in the midst of that pain, the psalmist reminds us to remember God and to hope in God and to praise God, who is our help and hope, to find joy in the midst of pain through God. And this third Sunday of Advent, it's the Sunday of joy. And that's what we're going to talk about today, just finding that joy in our faith and in God and in Christ. So let's pray. God, we do come together today joyfully. We come from all places, from places of darkness, places of light, places of happiness, places of sorrow. But today we give ourselves to you in joy, and we open ourselves to you and listen for a word from you. Speak into our lives this day, O Lord. Amen. So speaking of some not so happy moments, on Wednesday night, there were a number of us on 13 bypass east of Warrensburg between DD and 50. There were a number of us that felt some pain, literally. I had just dropped Lily off at her dance studio for practice on DD over by Warrensburg. That was our consolation moving here from Warrensburg. She got to stay and dance over there. And I'm driving down the 13 bypass to come back to 50 and come back home, and I get to an overpass. Do you remember the weather on Wednesday? Right? I was driving slow, but it did not matter. And I hit black ice, and the next thing I know, my Jeep was a ping pong ball in between the concrete barriers on the overpass. And that was literally the scariest moment of my life. There were three ways I could have not made it. One, as I'm like going head on to the edge of the bridge, I pictured my car just flying over, but I didn't. I just hit it and bounced back the other way really fast. And then I thought the same thing, only backwards. And then luckily there were no cars coming either way. Otherwise I would have been hit. But when I stopped, a semi was coming, and it was less than 10 feet by the time he got his thing stopped right next to my driver's side door. I mean, God was with me and I made it. And I may have said in that moment, "God, where are you?" I may have said something else, but it's church, so we'll stick with the first one. But then I managed to get my car off the thing because there was no shoulder on the bridge. It was just the two lanes. And I learned that I wasn't the only one. There was a kid with his parents' SUV. He was very distraught over that fact. That had done the exact same thing and busted up the front of his car. And then as I'm checking to make sure he's okay, we hear a screech and a woman screaming. She was screaming so loud in her car that we could hear her on the other side of the bridge doing the same thing. And luckily for her, it absorbed the shock, but the front of her car fell off in the road. And she came over, and she was, I think she said she was like 63, and she'd never been in an accident, and she was really shaken up. And she got out of her car. And so I went over and I said, are you okay? And you could tell she was there anyway. And she looked at her car and noticed that it wasn't all there. And then she looked at herself and was like, "Okay, I'm all here." And after that, though, she got the biggest smile on her face, and she just full on bear hugged. Like, I don't know this woman. I said, "Are you okay?" And she looks and she's like, "Yeah." And she just grabbed me. I'm not a hugger. Like, it's not what I do. I never have been. I get squirmy and awkward. I mean, if you come in for a hug, I won't run away. I have social graces, but I'll do this awkward, like, sidestep to the left and turn it. I don't know what you got, but I turn it into a side hug, and it makes it okay. But on Wednesday, I just laid it like I was there because we were in that moment. And, like, you could feel just the joy, like, despite the horrible thing that just happened, despite this awful moment, there was just this unbounding joy. God is good. Why, my soul, are you downcast? God is our hope and our help, and we are alive. My Jeep is not very well, but we are alive. I almost felt in that moment like breaking out in song, though that would have made the hug even more awkward had I done that. But, you know, you're in this moment and, like, you just want to, yeah, you know, like, so I got back in my car and I shouldn't have driven it home. I know that now, but I did, and it made it home, and then that was the end of it. But I'm in my car and I did, like, I was just singing all the way. I didn't know what else to do. Like, I'm like, I'm alive, you know, just making up songs. There's this vocal performance professor over, I think he's retired now, but he's at Emporia State. And his name actually is John Lennon. It's no joke, and he teaches singing, but it's not the same. He has a Kansas accent and not a British accent. But he wrote this really cool thing about singing, and he said that singing happens in those moments when no other means but sustained resonant expression. Did I mention he was a professor? Sustained resonant expression can provide complete emotional release. Sustained resonant expression, singing, like, there's nothing else you can, words are not gonna, they're not gonna get at the soul of what you're experiencing, and the only thing we can do is just burst out in song. Man, if we could do that whenever words failed us, like, we do it at home, we whistle while we work, we do it in the shower, in the car, but, I mean, there are those people that just bust out singing in public, but we look at them funny, and maybe secretly wish we could do that to and feel confident. I think that's why people like musicals so much, by the way. You know, because that's the world I want to live in. Like, if I could just burst out, it's raining, I'm singing in the rain. Like, just loving where we are and being able to express that in a way that's beyond words, that's in our soul. I think the same is true for worship, right? That's why, I mean, how else can we express our love for God in this relationship that we have that defies imagination and our participation in this great mystery of faith, but by singing? It's the amen, right? David and the other psalmists, they experienced that. That's why there are so many psalms in our Bible, over 150 of them spread throughout. Actually, there's more hymns than that. There's so much music in our scripture. That's why I love the Gospel of Luke. I like to think of it as the Gene Kelly Gospel, because the characters in Luke, they break out singing in the most amazing moments. I mean, how else can Mary or Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, or the angels, or Simeon, the man at the temple, how else can they express their joy at the birth of Christ than by singing, than with song? And so I want to read one of those songs to you. This is Mary's song. It's from Luke 1. I love her opening line to this song. And it goes like this. It's verse 46. And Mary sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. You see, Mary had just visited Elizabeth. And Elizabeth also, her cousin, is pregnant, divinely pregnant. And in 3 months, she's going to give birth to John the Baptist. And it is in that mutual joy of their meeting that Mary sings. Elizabeth has called her blessed 3 different times herself. I'm blessed to just be in Mary's presence. And so Mary, overcome with this joy that words can't express, she sings. She sings. And when our soul needs to express itself, when our spirit needs emotional release, we sing. That's why song is so often a part of our experience of God, because song and God is so far beyond anything we can think or imagine. God is so good, we have to sing about it. We have to sing. I don't know if any of you have seen some of these beautiful documentaries of individuals with Alzheimer's now, and they'll play music from their childhood, and it brings back, just even for a moment, who they are and memories of those times. It's amazing the way that music works on our souls and expresses our soul. My soul magnifies the Lord. And so in Luke, Mary sings to Elizabeth. And Mary's not the only one who sings. Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, sings. Do you know Zechariah's story? As a pastor, it kind of makes me nervous. Because Zechariah was a priest. He worked at the temple. And when he found out, they were a little on in years. And when Gabriel came and said, hey, guess what? Your wife is pregnant. He said, no, she isn't. You might not notice how old I am. And Elizabeth, well, she's well seasoned, right? He's good with words. She's well seasoned. I don't think we can be pregnant. And so here's an angel talking to a temple leader, and he doubts God. And so guess what happens? God shuts him up for 9 months and says, you're not going to doubt in the temple out loud. And so for 9 months, he's watching God's word become truth as Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist. And for 9 months, he's realizing that John is going to herald the coming of the Messiah, that the world is about to change. And so when the child is born and they name him John, guess what the first thing Zechariah does is when he can open his mouth? He sings. Nothing else will do. Nothing else can express his joy and his amazement at what God is doing in his life, but is doing in the world. Praise be to the Lord, he sings, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. And the angels, we know this story, right? The shepherds are out abiding in the fields. Anybody know what abiding means? Right? That was the first word you had to look up. Abiding in the fields, watching their flocks by night, and the angels come. And they want to tell this good news to the shepherds. And how do they tell them? They sing. Nothing else will do. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. And there's this guy named Simeon. He's been hanging out in the temple his whole life. He should have been dead by now, but he's holding on to life. He's old and he's waiting in that temple for what? The Messiah to come. He's waiting for the Christ child. And when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, and here he's been waiting his whole life, guess what he does? He sings. And he sings a song that would be his last. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I'm done here. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. In their joy at the wonders that God has wrought, how can they help but sing? How can we help but sing? And what does Simeon sing of? He sings of salvation. The angels sing about peace on earth. Zechariah, redemption. And Mary, she sings about mercy and lifting up the lowly and filling all who hunger. The amazing work of God and of Christ on earth. Even in the midst of hunger, there is joy in Christ's coming. Even in the midst of oppression, we can find a place for joy in Christ's release. Even in the midst of illness and death, there is a place for joy in the salvation and the eternal life through Christ's death and resurrection. Joy. You know, singing is an essential part of our existence. Scientists now think that as people, we were singing before we were talking. We were making music before we were speaking words. And joy is an essential part of who we are. They go hand in hand. Yes, there will always be sorrow and hurt, and we will always cry out to God in pain. Psalm 42 reminds us of that, and that it's okay. But we also sing. We sing in joy. It's who we are. So, I love this story. One of my favorite bands, I don't know if y'all heard of them, they're called Mariachi El Bronx. And yeah, that's them. They look kind of scary, actually. Like, festive and then scary up top. But they're not from the Bronx. If you listen to interviews with them, they've only been there once on tour after they were already called, actually, the Bronx. So, you see, initially, and they still are occasionally, they're a punk rock band out of California, Los Angeles, called the Bronx. And they play, like, they're hard rock and mosh pit inducing. Like, don't think that's good Christian music, right? Kind of band. And here, this is actually from their first album. I'll play just a snippet, and I checked the lyrics. It's okay. I don't know what they're saying because they're screaming it at us, but it's okay. But this is what the Bronx sounds like. Don't need it again. Make it go away. Right? So that's not joyful. I don't care who you are. That's not joyful music. It doesn't express the joy of our hearts. It's punk rock. Joy is not punk rock, man. Punk rock is anger and hurt and depression and just that. Like, you can't even say it. And so they, for years, the Bronx, this was what they did, day in and day out. But then this thing happened, they're like, but we have joy in our hearts. And we have happy, like, good things happen to us. They happen to everyone because God is good all the time, right? And they're like, but punk rock as a genre is not sufficient to express our joy. Like, they didn't work. And so they, as a band, they're trying to figure out, like, we want to sing happy stuff too. So how can we do this? How can we find some way to sing happy songs? So it just so happens that a couple of the guys that founded the band grew up next door to David Hidalgo, who is the lead singer and lead guitarist of the band Los Lobos. Some of you might know them. They got really popular, I think it was the 80s, when the Richie Valens movie came out, La Bamba. And so they did all the Richie Valens songs on that album and just exploded. So they remembered growing up in this neighborhood, all these white punk rockers from Los Angeles, and they remembered hearing mariachi music as kids, and they're like, man, that was some happy music. That was a happy time in our life. So here's this band who has this joy in their hearts that needs to come out in song somehow. So they form a mariachi band, and instead of the Bronx, they become Mariachi El Bronx, and this is what they sound like now. Right? Same band. All right. See, I see the smiles on your faces, right? Immediately. This is not English. Now it is. Right? Music has this amazing effect that I see a bunch of smiles, joy, right? I did not see joy I saw anger at me for playing the last song. But this one, there's joy. I mean, they had no, it's in us. It's part of who we are, and it needs to come out. I don't care how punk rock you are. Sometimes you need violins and accordion and some trumpets and a mariachi band to remind you of the joy in life. Sometimes our souls just need to sing. That's why we sing today. That's why Christmas is a season of carols, right? I mean, we can't wait to start putting the Christmas music on every year because of the joy. I get in trouble every year too because I try to damper it down till the day after Thanksgiving. That's my rule in my house, and my daughter especially does not like me for it. So we compromised, and her door has been shut since November 1st with Christmas music blaring in her room because her soul is crying out for this joy. And Christmas music, the joy at Christ's birth, that Christ has come and is coming, and we get to participate in that. And no matter how hard our life gets, right? No matter how many car wrecks we've been in or how much of a train wreck our life might be at any given moment, there is joy in Christ. There's joy in babies, right? There is joy in that. So here's what I want to encourage you guys. For the next 14 days, maybe 13 now, right? The next 13 days, and then the 12 after, because that's the Christmas time, right? Live like you're a character in the Gospel of Luke. Just break out in song. It's okay, because God is coming. Christ is coming, and Christ has come, will come again, and there is reason to be joyful. And if you want to put on some mariachi music, go right ahead. It's a joyful time in our life, even in the midst of those car wrecks, train wrecks, and everything else. Never forget the joy that Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection bring to us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for the joy of a child, the smile that they bring to our hearts. Thank you for the joy that your child brings to everyone. And God, just help us to hold on to that, not just in this Christmas season, but always, Lord, when things look dark and things look tough and our souls are downcast and we feel oppressed and forgotten. Even in those moments, Lord, remind us of your Son, what he has done for us, what your Spirit does through us and in us, Lord. Lead us to joy that we might sing out your praises always. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you're able for a final blessing this day. Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, pour out your Spirit on all of us here today, a Spirit of peace, of hope, of love. And in this season, Lord, bring us joy and a song in our souls that we might sing out to you in all we do. Amen.